Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. With apologies for the literary injustice done Charles Dickens, Christmas is the best of all seasons and the worst. Christmas means that high Advent expectations never fully materialize, at least in the way we thought. It should be the other way around, with Christmas greater than Advent. But it isn't. Perhaps the theology of hope is right. Fulfilled hope is no longer hope. Even those who ineffectively push for a reinstitution of a seriously penitential Advent, climaxing with a festive Christmas, are seen in Glenbrook as early as Thanksgiving, a realized eschatology of its own making. Penitential Advent preachers will predictably tell us on December 26 that the church has just begun to celebrate Christmas, but nobody takes that sort of thing seriously anymore. Mailing cards, Christmas cards, after Christmas may have religious value, but to the rest of us, it appears a bit odd. The season's real drive is whether the economy was sufficiently lubricated by retail sales to guarantee a prosperous new year. At a more elementary level, where we work, it means that what you didn't want, you can return, and what you didn't get, you can buy for less. Monday is the year's largest trash collection. No statistics prove this, but it sounds impressive. The environmentally concerned can have their Christmas trees recycled to mulch to preserve a world which St. Peter says is destined for fire. For the less concerned but still deeply emotional, bonfires will devour worn-out Christmas trees, ceremonies at which Nordic pagan chieftains would feel at home. And overall, our Christmases, Isaiah's words seem to be strangely true. The grass withers, the flower fades. The words of Jesus, they are thrown into the fire. The inherent contradiction of this season is not between us and them. The contradiction lies in faith itself. It is the best and worst of all seasons. The Sunday and the day after Christmas is for St. Stephen. We do not have to put the cross into Christmas. It is already there. We are abruptly ripped from the cradle to a martyrdom crowned with blood, without any transitional sentences and paragraphs. December 27 is no improvement. He who anticipated paradise by lying at his teacher's side is martyred by exile in a living solitude. Luke's unearthed peace, goodwill to men, is countered by the slaughter of the holy innocents on December 28. The sword piercing the Virgin Mother's heart penetrates the entire body of Christ. Medieval forest provided the rider of "From heaven above to earth I come" with the first Christmas tree. But they also sheltered assassins commissioned to lance the heart of the wild boar, as the Pope called him. Christmas is the best and worst of all seasons. Miracles attract, but martyrdoms are unfathomable mysteries. Herod's victims are not immoral children. Sin, original or actual, the appropriate punishment applies not here. They are canonized as the holy innocents. Their suffering is the lens through which we see our Lord Jesus, the martyr excelling all other martyrs, and in whose death the death of all saints are assumed. God's wrath over the most perverse form of iniquity has already been revealed in the cross. The Christmas epistle says that now the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. There are no exceptions. Of those born of women, none are greater than John. Though martyred, the Baptist summons all to repent, not only of their offenses against God, but especially of all their claims to personal holiness. Luther caught it in the first of his 95 theses that all of our life, not just a part of it, should be one of repentance. vibrant faith turned to doubt when popularity was overtaken by imprisonment. Behold, the Lamb of God is followed quickly by, are you the one who was to come, or do we look for another? No rescue here, capital punishment in the real sense. Christmas is the best and the worst of all seasons. The preliminary answers to whether Jesus is the Christ are these. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The ultimate and finally convincing answer is that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Only in the gospel is the contradiction between martyrdom and paradise resolved. Unless Christmas is the best and the worst of all seasons, it is not Christmas at all. Christmas is no more self-contained than atonement is without incarnation, or resurrection without death. The ancient church surrounded a pagan holiday transformed into Christmas with a commemoration of martyrs, so that we would not stay in Bethlehem, but that we would go to Jerusalem. We would speed from the crib to Calvary. The arms of her who held the infant become the arms in which the crucified body lies limp in death. On one side of the altar, the Madonna and child, and on the other side of the altar, the Pietà. Christmas is white, but the surrounding numerals are red. We cannot celebrate unless we sorrow, and sorrow, and sorrow again. The self-righteous never sorrow. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is not the promise of unrealized rapture, but as Luther says, it is the reality of faith which in Jesus sees God. The God of an incomprehensible and boundless majesty, and whose majesty is beyond algebraic calculation, weighs in at about an 8-pound baby boy. Outside of him, there is no God. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. He who has seen me has already seen the Father. My God is not simply an awesome God who reigns in heaven above. No, God's majesty and God's glory are defined by the womb and the arms of the Virgin. It is defined by cross, by death, and by tomb. The Eucharistic liturgy moves forward to its appointed midnight hour. The celebrant puts his hand to the bread, and in lifting up the host, assumes the role of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And in that mysterious moment we pray, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to those things which are not seen.